This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. With the State of the Union address passed, President Obama heads into the final phase of his presidency. The 2016 presidential election is still more than 20 months away, but the list of would-be contenders for the major party's nominations is growing.
This weekend, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and other high-profile Republicans will be in California to speak at a gathering organized by the Koch brothers, whose organization, Americans for Prosperity, has played a significant role in national and local races.
It'll be an event that garners a lot of attention for taking place so long before the primary season. Julia Azari is a political science professor at Marquette University whose specialties include electoral politics, and she joins us now. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
When you look back at election history, do you see this as a relatively new phase, this kind of very public trial balloon phase where candidates are going to events sponsored by the kingmakers of their respective parties?
This phase itself, which some people call the invisible primary, dates back to the mid-1970s. It's a phenomenon that comes out of the primary reforms early in that decade. I think its public phase is relatively new. The media, particularly now that we have a partisan and very 24-hour kind of media, have seized on some of the clues and signals that come out in this phase as part of the story.
So let's talk about the Republican primary season that is shaping up. It's obviously getting a lot of attention here because of the what's seen as fairly likely presidential candidacy of Governor Scott Walker. First off, where do you see him fitting in the field that is lining up?
So Walker fits in an interesting place because he has credibility with social conservatives and with economic conservatives. He has an appeal to some of the more conservative insurgent wings of the party, but without having some of the drawbacks, he doesn't go off message some of the other candidates have. So I see him as having a lot of the qualities that the party would look for in a candidate.
Even given his popularity among some social conservatives, he does not yet seem to have the name recognition of some of the other contenders, the Chris Christies, the Jeb Bushes, the Ted Cruzes of the world. But is name recognition even an issue this early in the process, or do you just need to be known within the RNC or the Koch primary, for example?
It's true that this is an elite process that's going on right now, but I think that name recognition is going to play a big part of it. One of the things that those elites are going to be looking for is somebody who can get elected and who can look presidential. This is a leap of imagination we have to take every 4 years when we select someone from Congress or from the State House somewhere to become a presidential candidate. So with Walker and with any governor, especially governor of a medium-sized state, they have to overcome this leap of imagination. And I think that is actually is what's lurking behind some of the name recognition issues. It's easy to imagine Romney in that role because he's already run. It's easy to imagine Jeb Bush in that role because of his presidential family. It's harder to imagine. It's harder for Walker, I think, to kind of easily step into that role. He's got to do some work.
Is it gravitas people are looking for?
I think it always is. It's hard to put your finger on. But if you think about some of the other candidates who've come out of relative political obscurity, we've had Clinton and Obama who were really strong speakers, or you've had candidates who are, you know, who are not obscure. You have someone like John McCain who had already run in 2000 and who'd been prominent in the Senate for a long time, or someone like George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, people with these famous names.
Well, and I wonder if you take, say, a governor of a small to medium-sized state, one of the issues is much of what he has said on the record in the past has been limited to the minutiae and the details of Wisconsin politics as opposed to kind of big generalities.
I think that's absolutely right. I think the other aspect of looking presidential is that whoever runs in 2016, and this is true, I think, for both Republicans and Democrats, will have to articulate a vision of policy and also of being president that's distinct and can break away from what Obama's already done. For Walker, rooted in Wisconsin, he has definitely kept his talking points very close to home. And part of that may be that he doesn't want to run into something that some political candidates have encountered. The most obvious example that comes to mind for me here is actually Sarah Palin, who really lost credibility in Alaska after running for vice president. So it's a very tough balance where the politicians want to look like national contenders, but they can't look like they're abandoning their home state and the people who voted for them.
Well, right. And I wonder, would you imagine that with a Walker candidacy, his agenda in Wisconsin becomes either more cautious or more ambitious?
You know, that's another tough one to say because on the one hand, Walker wants to look like someone, you know, his credibility is going to be his ability to get things done and his ability to make a conservative agenda a reality. At the same time, pushing for something like right to work, for example, would really open up the door for more controversy, for more polarization. And here's where I think there's another kind of tension for Walker with Obama. One of Walker's key selling points is that he's ready for political battle. He's won 3 elections in 4 years. And yet, if part of the narrative will be breaking away from the polarized politics of the Obama administration, that's going to be really hard for Walker to make that case. And so I think that's another reason why he might hesitate to jump into another controversial policy set of policies like Act 10 or something along those lines.
So this might be what he's getting at when he's saying that right to work might be a distraction. This is a distraction for its time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's sort of a cynical way to think about it. It's a distraction for his presidential campaign. But I also think from a state governing perspective that he's probably thinking about, you know, how many really big controversial pieces of legislation can you really put forward? Another way in which Walker's time as governor really oddly parallels Obama's time as president.
Does the Republican Party have an issue with a glut of candidates occupying a fairly narrow band of the political spectrum? I mean, how much work will it be for Ted Cruz, say, and Scott Walker to define their differences?
I think that that's a definite possibility. And this has actually been a real hallmark of the Republican Party over the last 6 or 7 years is that it's been very divided and yet very ideologically cohesive in a lot of ways. So one of the things that may come out of this is that in the presidential primary, we'll see what we've seen in the congressional primaries, which is that they're kind of fighting about process. They're kind of fighting about what it means to be in politics and about who's compromised too much. And so it's not even really about where they stand on a given issue. It's about what politics is. In the 2012 primary, they managed to avoid that. And the Tea Party, which has kind of been the driving process faction, and the party didn't play nearly as big a role in the 2012 primary as I think a lot of people expected. But maybe in 2016, that will be different.
Is that maybe a reason that Mitt Romney might see an opening to run again? Or what do you ascribe his sudden saber rattling, if you will?
Well, I think he sees a possible opportunity, but I also think that what he's doing right now is realizing that if he was going to consider it at all, he needed to get in because Jeb Bush got in. So time will sort of tell if he thinks that he really wants to get into it again this time.
He does still have his network in existence where some of these other newer candidates, the Ted Cruz's and the Scott Walkers of the world, don't necessarily have a national machine set up yet.
Absolutely. I think dismissing Mitt Romney just because he lost last time is really premature. It's true that it's unusual for the parties, either party, to run a candidate who's already lost a general election. That being said, Republicans have tended in the modern period to nominate someone who's already run in the primary. And Romney won a whole lot more electoral college votes than pretty much anyone else in that field. So it's something to think about. And my guess is that he's getting advice from people in his circle that he should give it another try.
Well, so let's turn to the potential Democratic field for a minute or two here. One can't help but notice that the list is somewhat shorter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that the list of candidates who are prepared to take on Hillary Clinton and the fundraising and name recognition and network that is the Clinton machine, I think that list is short.
Are there potential candidates out there that might be waiting on something else? Or is Hillary really just the defining issue in the potential Democratic primary campaign?
I think the main thing that candidates are waiting on is a definitive signal from Hillary Clinton about whether she's running, but the signs look good. I think that the Democrats probably perceive that as an advantage. I think that having being able to unite around a candidate who's seen as a particularly strong candidate with a lot of experience, a lot of name recognition. I think that's – you know, they see that as an advantage, and there's not a great incentive to move away from that. The main incentive I think some Democrats would have to try something different is if the economy weren't showing signs of improvement, it would be a good opportunity to move the party to the left. But that's not happening.
So Hillary Clinton represents a more centrist kind of Democratic candidate.
I think so. And also an older approach to the party. Her political credentials obviously go back to her husband's presidency, the Democratic Leadership Council, and the kind of more centrist movement of the 1990s. When she was in the Senate, she had a good reputation for working across party lines. And then, of course, she's had her most recent experience as a stateswoman.
Well, it's also interesting to note that there are many people who are really hoping for a Hillary Clinton candidacy for its, you know, boundary-breaking significance. But at the same time, there are people out there that are really calling on Elizabeth Warren to consider a run, and that would accomplish the same thing. Though, obviously, as you were describing, she would represent a more left-of-center candidate, right?
Absolutely. And Elizabeth Warren has pretty good name recognition, it seems, for a freshman senator. She does have a really dedicated constituency within the party. Some of this kind of gets into crystal ball territory. But I think that there would be more of an impetus for an Elizabeth Warren candidacy if there were a more obvious kind of push to move left with economic policy. And if unemployment drops, then the energy – my suspicion is the energy just won't be there.
At the same time, Republicans, many of them sound like they are banking on a Hillary Clinton candidacy. Is there an issue for the Democrats if they are so united so early that there's a fixed target for the Republicans to work on for so long?
You know, I don't know that that's going to be so important. Will a candidate like Hillary Clinton, who's divisive in some circles, improve turnout? Maybe. That's a possibility, and elections are to some extent turnout battles. But I think that effect will probably be marginal. The other thing is that, you know, if it were a candidate like, say, Elizabeth Warren or another name that floats around a little bit, Martin O'Malley, there was going to be 2 years of national attention on one of those candidates, I'd be nervous. But really, how much more can we find out about Hillary Clinton? What secrets are really lurking there? I think that they could target her for 2 more years and it wouldn't matter a whole lot.
Well, Julia Azari, thanks so much for not quite going into the crystal ball, but getting us close.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Julia Azari is a political science professor at Marquette University, and she's a regular contributor to the blog Mischiefs of Faction. You'll find a link at WUWM.com.
A quick break now, and then the really interesting work of a Wisconsin marine archaeologist. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.